What would you call a marriage where spouses see eye to eye about money? Some might call it bliss. I am Rob West. It's true that most couples at least occasionally quarrel about their finances, but could a better understanding of each other's values help spouses avoid that bickering? Shanti Feldhahn thinks so, and she joins us today to talk about it. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always a blessing to have relationship expert Shanti Feldhahn on the program. Shanti, welcome back.
It's always great to be with you.
Shanti, you have an insightful article in FaithFi's new quarterly publication, Faithful Steward. I was so excited to get it in our first issue. It's called Money in Marriage, It's a Matter of Value. And it shows how important it is to understand where spouses are coming from if we want to avoid money squabbles. Now, you start the piece with a great story about how you and your husband, Jeff, discovered this early in your marriage. And I thought it might be a great place for us to start today.
Yeah, this is one of those things that's kind of embarrassing to even mention, but this is where the lessons come from, right? We were living in New York and we were both working these long hours. And, you know, in New York, one of the things that you kind of have to do when you're both working long hours is you just eat out a lot.
Yeah.
And for us, that was great. Like we kind of had the money for it. But we would always get into these crazy arguments as we were sort of in the middle of dinner. And it took me a while to figure out what was going on. It took us a while. Because the waiter would always come over and say, you know, can I get you anything to drink? Jeff would order water. I would order a Diet Coke. And then later I would ask for a refill and Jeff would start shutting down. And it took us a while to recognize that, oh, by the way, in New York, I should say that refills are not free.
Right.
And Jeff is thinking, apparently, what I did not know, is that Jeff was thinking something about my motivation that was not what I was thinking.
And it really all had to do with what each of you value. Now, I know this became a lot clearer as you launched into this really important survey and study that resulted in a book, and we'll talk about that, but unpack how you were able to begin to understand what was going on beneath the surface as you continued through your work.
Well, we didn't actually realize until we started this big national project for, you know, helping people around their marriage and money. We kind of went back to the Diet Coke thing, which had become kind of infamous. And we went, oh, that's an example of one of the things that we found, which is that it turns out one of those issues that causes a lot of conflict in most marriages is that you're not valuing what the other person is valuing. Mm. And in that particular case, what we realized is that Jeff was literally thinking, like, if we keep ordering refills for $4.50, like, we're going to be homeless in retirement.
Right.
like, that was what was in his mind. Like, and he was thinking, you know, how can she be willing to do this? Like, she doesn't realize how hard I'm working. Like, we have $125,000 in student loan debt. And,
and clearly she doesn't care about our financial well-being, right?
There you go. She doesn't care about it, right. And what he didn't know until we were able to actually talk about it is that actually, no, it was something completely different, which was for me, we were newlyweds at the time. He didn't know that, I know this is weird, but I don't like the taste of water.
Yeah.
I know that's strange, but literally, like, it's a thing for me. I'm fine with staying home and cooking at home. But if I'm going out somewhere to eat, like, I can only enjoy a meal if I have, like, an iced tea or a Diet Coke or something else to drink. And he can enjoy a meal just fine with just water.
Yeah.
This little tiny thing was just something that we didn't know about each other. And so we didn't know how to even... We didn't even know that this was a thing, much less how to honor what the other person valued.
Yeah.
And that was a key understanding that was really a game changer for you all. And I know as you got into your work, you realized that, hey, we're not alone. This is very common. And in fact, there's all kinds of examples about how what you value is different than what I value. And it shows up in the money conversation all the time. So when we come back, we'll unpack a few of those. And maybe you'll have that aha that Shanti and Jeff had about how your understanding of your spouse's wiring and preferences could be a game changer. Shanti Felton here today. We're talking money and marriage. Back with more right after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
History always has something to teach us, both from the good and the bad things that have happened. These are lessons of great value, but only if they're not forgotten. At the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., a scripture passage is featured, Deuteronomy 4:9. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. And today is International Holocaust Remembrance Day, a time to reflect on the terrifying, tragic events that took place during World War II, and a time of great suffering for many, but especially the Jewish people. And it's an opportunity to affirm the image of God in all people. Deepen your walk with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
I'm so glad you've joined us today for Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my friend Shanti Felton. Shanti and her husband Jeff wrote the book Thriving in Love and Money. And folks, it is a game changer in terms of you understanding what are the drivers to the breakdown in communication, to the arguments, to the frustration around money and marriage. Because God's heart is that we would have oneness, that we'd have unity in marriage. And despite the fact that we have different backgrounds and different ways that God has hardwired us, this whole area of money management can be an instrument of peace that drives you toward God's ultimate plan for your marriage and your family and each of you in your walk with Him. But it doesn't have to be a source of distraction or frustration, and thriving in love and money will help you get to the heart of that. So pick it up wherever you buy books. And Shanti, we were sharing before the break that really at the foundation of this book is a massive study that you and Jeff did on this topic of money and marriage. I'd love for you to unpack a little bit of the data and maybe some of the key learnings from that.
Yeah, no, we spent several years essentially trying to understand what is it that creates a great marriage around money. Now, obviously, other people can do a much better job of, you know, how do you help people budget and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
What we really wanted to uncover were what were the factors in your relationship that most matter. And what we talked about right before the break was one of them, you know, this concept of, wow, the thing that causes the friction is often that you're simply just not valuing what the other person is valuing. We found that this was really common. And depending on the survey question, this was anywhere from like two-thirds to like 80-85% of people fell into this category. Wow. One of my favorite ones, because I recognized it in myself, is that 67%, so more than two-thirds of people in a spending conflict, they're looking at their spouse and while they're arguing over buying this refrigerator or that refrigerator, and they're thinking to themselves, if you would just look at this logically, you would agree with me. you're just not being logical.
Right.
And the problem is both people are thinking that.
Yes, exactly. At the same time.
Yeah. And so that's one of the big issues that is running under the surface.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because I'd love for you to perhaps share some examples of what this looks like in the typical couple's life where they value different things and perhaps are thinking just that. If you would just think about this logically, we'd be on the same page here. Where does that show up?
Well, think about, let me give you just a silly example, because all of us kind of get these sorts of things. Imagine that you have a real desire to buy a particularly expensive or nice or high-end membership in a gym or a golf club or a, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's, and let's just say, you know, it's a nice gym. It's $150 a month, $200 a month. And for you, it's a kind of expensive, but you know, okay, it's worth it. Right.
Yeah.
That's okay. Your spouse comes back from Costco with $200 worth of stuff. And you're like, why does it cost so much? Right. And it's the same amount.
Yes.
But you're like, come on. Like what we most need from Costco is toilet paper and whatever. And it should cost $75 or $100 per visit, you know, total.
Sure.
Those are examples of you're valuing two different things and you don't realize it. For you, the value is, wow, it's not just a golf club. This is a chance for me to have a place that I network with people. This is a chance for me to make sure that I'm kind of up on, you know, how when I'm golfing, so I'm not embarrassed. Like, that's really important to me.
Yes.
To actually be competent and to have the opportunity to take some lessons and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's not just a service that just happens to cost some hundreds of dollars a month. There's a lot of other stuff under there. It's being better at my job, et cetera.
Yes.
Okay. Whereas your spouse may be on the other thing thinking, that's just ridiculous. Why are we spending that much money for a monthly, you know, fees at the golf club, when really what we need to be spending our money on consumables.
Mm.
Like going to Costco and spending $200, that saves me from spending $400 at the grocery store because everything's much more cheap and consumables are worth it. That's just an example. The idea of like things versus services. Those are two different types of things that people care about. And here's the thing. There's no one right answer. That's the key, is that for us to recognize that it's not that you're right and I'm wrong. It's that we're valuing two different things, and you have to, and this is not overstating it. In order to have a good marriage around money, you have to understand what's going on underneath what your spouse values so you can talk about it.
Yeah. And I know this shows up in other areas. You give other examples in the book, like enjoying the present and using money to deepen relationships versus saving for retirement. It could be giving great presents to the kids or grandkids versus building an inheritance. It can manifest itself in all kinds of ways,
yes.
But at the heart of it is a difference in what we value. Now, that leads to, Shanti, one of the other big findings to avoid this conflict in marriage, which was communication. Because the only way you're going to understand what the other values is if you're talking about it, right?
Yes. And the issue that often comes up, and this is extremely common, the issue that often comes up is you don't realize you're not actually communicating about what's going on in your spouse's heart and mind. You're telling them what you want.
Hmm.
Which is fine. Like, of course, yeah. Like everybody has their opinions. Awesome. But just recognize that there is a heart underneath what your spouse cares about. And there's a heart underneath what you care about. And you have to understand that underneath the surface stuff, if you want a great relationship around money. Now, you might be able to have great money. You might be able to have a great retirement account. You might be able to have, you know, perfect financial services and have not a great marriage around money. Yeah. And I think people want both.
Yeah. Shanti, obviously doing the hard work and uncovering and understanding each other's values is something we can do on our own just by talking about it. But what about the role of the advisor to walk alongside you in this?
Well, one of the things that we found actually in the research that was so encouraging for like the Kingdom Advisor community, the Christian yeah. financial advisor community, is that the average financial advisor, they don't want any part of that conversation.
Right.
Right? Like, that this is
let
this
me
is
deal
something...
with the numbers, not the
exactly.
marriage, please.
Exactly. They're like, I'm not a marriage counselor. And no, of course, your financial advisor is not a marriage counselor, regardless. However, one of the things that people who have a kingdom mindset are trained to do, and I've done some of the training for some of the kingdom advisors in your world, is actually to go, you know what, this is a bigger thing. Like God cares just as much or more about the marriage as he does about the finances, because if the marriage is in trouble, your finances could be great and you're still not actually honoring God in this. And so I really do encourage people to talk to their financial advisor about, help me work through these values with my spouse so we know where to put our money.
That is so good. Well, Shanti, we're going to have you back because we just scratched the surface, but thanks for your time today.
Absolutely.
Folks, pick up a copy of this book that Shanti wrote with her husband, Jeff. It's called Thriving in Love and Money, 5 Game-Changing Insights About Your Relationship. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian Credit Counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance right here on American Family Radio. You know, here at AFR, everything's about helping you navigate your life, your marriage, your walk with Jesus, your relationships, and yes, your money through the lens of Scripture, how you engage culture through the lens of Scripture. You see, we want you to live out that biblical worldview in every domain, and that certainly includes this area of money management. It's one of the most tangible demonstrations of what we value and where we place our trust. It's that daily decision we're making, and we may not realize the implications of those decisions, and I don't want to over-spiritualize your run through the drive-through or your payment to a utility, and yet, if you think about it, it really is that great revealer of the heart. Here's what Larry Burkett, the late Larry Burkett, would often say. He would say, the way we handle money is the clearest indicator into what's going on in our life spiritually. Wow, that's a big idea. If you take a step back and think about that for a moment, it really means that underneath each of those decisions is a value that we're working out. And that's what Shanti Feldhahn was talking about today. It's a matter of value in terms of money in marriage. What do each of us value? What are we bringing into this marriage relationship as two become one flesh? And how do we allow those values that each of us have and cherish and were formed based on how God has wired us and our upbringing and all of these factors? And by the way, they can vary. They can be different when we come together as two individuals created in the image of God. And so we've got to work that out. We need understanding. That's one of the key parts of being able to get past the conflict that can so easily arise in marriage. We have to get past that by understanding each other and those values and how we're wired and how tightly I grip money and how loosely you hold it and vice versa. It's a key piece of you being able to move toward God's plan for your marriage, for your family, for your lives, and allow money to be a tool to accomplish that, not a source of conflict. And so what a treat to have Shanti with us today. There was a couple of other keys in addition to understanding values that Shanti found in her study with Jeff, her husband. I'll mention those a little later in the broadcast today, because if this is an area where you're struggling, we want to help you break free in this. All right, we're going to be taking your phone calls today as well. That number to get in on the conversation with your financial questions today is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. You can get right through right now. And so whatever you were wrestling with over the weekend in your financial life, how do we pay down that debt? And what about saving? And if we're in debt, should we be giving? And how much? What about my credit score and my investments? Any of those topics and more are in play today. And so coast to coast, wherever you're at today, call right now, 800-525-7000 with your financial questions. We're going to be headed to the phones here in just a moment. Let me also mention this article we were discussing today with Shanti. If you want to go deeper in this or you want to read that article, it's found in our brand new quarterly publication at FaithFi. It's called Faithful Steward. And we're now producing that. In fact, this first issue with Shanti's article as one of the features is coming out next week. And then every quarter we'll be producing this beautiful 52-page publication. We'd love to send that to you because it's going to be chock full of articles just like this so you can connect your faith to your money and allow money to be a tool to accomplish God's purposes in a host of topics. We'll deal with generosity and relationships and saving and investing, and we'll deal with work and retirement and so much more in every issue. If you'd like to receive one in your mailbox each quarter, you can become a FaithFi partner at faithfi.com. And FaithFi partners not only receive our quarterly publication, Faithful Steward, but also receive pre-release copies of all of our studies and devotionals. And you can, again, sign up at faithfi.com. Just click Give. All right, we're going to head to the phones here today. Lines are open, 800-525-7000. Alexis, how can I help you?
Yes. Hi. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
I'm 59 years old, and I'm not quite ready to retire yet. I've been saving a lot in my 401k, and I also have a Roth IRA that I could get at 59 and a half, or if I leave my job. And I was looking at investing or putting in an extra $500 a month towards my retirement. And my question is, would I be better off putting it in the 401k or in the Roth IRA?
Yeah, it's a great question, Alexis. It's one we get a lot here, traditional or Roth. And it comes down to a number of factors. Some are known, some are unknown. And that unknown is largely, what are the tax rates going to look like in the future? We don't know that. We know a little bit more than we did 6 months ago about the near term, just now that we know that President Trump is going to have 4 years in office. And he's been very clear that he, at the very least, wants to make the Trump tax cuts permanent, which were due to expire at the end of this year. He's even talking about lowering tax rates. That remains to be seen, of course. But that's still fairly short term. You know, when we're looking out to retirement, you know, what we want to know is, what are taxes going to be like 10 and 20 years from now? And we, of course, have no idea. And so we just need to do the best we can to determine how much should you have in what we call a pre-tax environment, where you're getting a current tax deduction now, and then you'll pay taxes on the money as it comes out in retirement, which obviously the prevailing tax rates at that time will have a lot to do with whether or not that was a good strategy or not. And then the Roth version, where you go ahead and pay the taxes now, but then you don't pay the taxes when you pull it out in retirement on all the gains. So give me just a breakdown here, Alexis, of what do you currently have in that 401k roughly, and how much is in the Roth?
The 401k has about $700,000, okay. And the Roth has about 45.
Okay, great. And you're continuing to put into the 401k right now, is that right?
Yes, I'm still working very aggressively.
Okay, and how much are you putting in a percentage of your pay, do you know?
I'm putting in 7%.
7%, and are they matching above that?
Yes.
Okay, and what are they putting in, like 3 or 4?
They're putting in 4.
Okay, excellent. That's great information. All right, let's do this. I'm going to ask you to hold right there. I know you've been patient. I'm going to ask you to do that one more time. When we get right back after this break, we'll talk about this additional $500 a month you have and the best place to put that. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
Have you added AFR on Roku? With it, you can quickly access AFR programming live.
I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View.
The majority of Americans actually want to live in reality.
As well as podcasts of all your favorite shows.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7.
AFR on Roku is another way to stay informed, equipped, and motivated as we join together to restore godly values in our nation. AFR on Roku. Add it today.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Before the break, we were talking to Alexis in North Carolina. She's putting aggressively into her 401k, currently 7%. Her company's matching 4%, so she's got 11% going in out of every paycheck, which is right in line with what we recommend, 10 to 15% of your pay. She's amassed a substantial amount in there, $700,000, but she wants to continue to save aggressively so she has what she needs to supplement retirement, or excuse me, to supplement Social Security in retirement. And she's wondering, should I put that extra $500 a month in my Roth IRA, which has just a little less than $50,000, or should I add it to my 401k? Alexis, there was a study done by some researchers a number of years ago. They looked at literally thousands of retirement plans, and they were looking to determine what is the right mix between the pre-tax contributions versus the after-tax in terms of the unknowns around tax rates in the future and where the optimal kind of split was between the two. And what they came up with was a formula, and it's just a rule of thumb. We kind of factor it into our decision making. It doesn't mean we have to do it, but it's at least a guide. And their formula to optimize these retirement accounts based on all the ones that they looked at was you add the number 20 to your age, and that's the amount you put into your pre-tax contribution, and then you put the balance in Roth. And so what that just means is as you age, you know, you're putting more and more in the pre-tax. And the idea there is that, you know, you're reaching or if not at the peak of your earning potential, probably paying the most in taxes at that point. And so you're getting the more benefit from the pre-tax, but you still want something going into Roth because there's not going to be no required minimum. And if we're in a high tax environment, you know, when you get into retirement for whatever reason, then you could prioritize, you know, withdrawals from that account and let the pre-tax grow. So if we applied that to your situation, what is your age right now?
I just turned 59.
Okay, so let's call that 80% going into pre-tax, 20% going into the Roth. I suspect if you ran those numbers, what that would say is if you don't have anything going into the Roth right now, you probably should just stay the course with what you're putting into the 401k on the 7 plus the 4% from your employer and take that additional $500 a month, $6,000 a year, and put that into the Roth, at least just based on this work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I do have $300 a month that I put into the Roth.
Okay. Yeah, so that would put you up at $800 a month, which is actually more than you can put in, because that's $9,600, and you can only do, if you're over 50, which you are, you can put in $8,000 this year. So I would say, why don't we, just plan to max out the Roth this year at $8,000, and then put the balance in the 401k.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right. Thanks for your call today. Lord bless you. We appreciate you being on the program. We've got lines open today, folks. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Any financial question in play, and you can get straight through right now, 800-525-7000. To Louisiana, Lewis, how can I help you?
Hey, Rob. Good morning, man. You've talked about taking your 401k and using some of that to pay your tithe. My question is that this year I start paying my minimum requirement distribution. I'll turn 73 in April.
Okay.
I was just wondering, would that go towards my minimum required distribution, or will it be an addition? I'll have to take out more.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. A qualified charitable distribution does offset your required minimum. However, it can't come out of a 401k. You would have to roll that out to an IRA, and then you could do the qualified charitable distribution out of that. And you could satisfy the entire required minimum if you want to. You don't have to, but every dollar you take out of that IRA as a qualified charitable distribution reduces, a dollar of that required minimum. It applies one-to-one. So you could, take out all or part, but you would need to get it over into an IRA versus that 401k.
Okay, Rob, I'm sorry. It just, my terminology is not up to date, I guess. I do have an IRA. I've been retired since 16, and I rolled everything into an IRA back then. So yes,
Got
I
it.
Do have that.
Got it. Yeah.
I was wondering that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Now, I was just wondering how much I could do and everything, because there's other things that we give to that I could lump that together and just have them send, LPNL send checks out to them and stuff, and just record that as my, and just save that money in my budget that I'm giving out now, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what I recommend, Lewis. I mean, a lot of us in this season of life, if you're over 70 and a half, which is the minimum age to do a qualified charitable distribution, most of your giving is probably being done with after-tax dollars coming out of checking or savings. And, you're
that's
given
right.
to your church, you're given to other ministries. And if you didn't do anything but just stop giving out of checking or savings and do the same giving out of your IRA, and you're exactly right. If your custodian is LPL, which is a great one, let them know you want that to go straight from your IRA to your church or whatever charity it is. By the way, if you have check writing privileges on the IRA, which some people do, you could literally just write the check to your church from your IRA. And as long as it goes direct and doesn't come to you, then it's considered a qualified charitable distribution. You need to be able to back that up so you can defend that if you were questioned about it by the IRS. But yeah, you could satisfy up to 100% of that required minimum and potentially just do the same giving you're doing right now, just pull it from a different bucket.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, yeah, because less taxes I have to pay. I guess at our age, the better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, there's no reason not to. And think about how significant this is, and I'm sure you're picking up on this, but for the benefit of our audience, this is the only way to get that money out of the IRA without ever paying tax on it. Because remember, it went into the 401k pre-tax. Lewis got a deduction on the contribution through salary deferral, so he never paid tax on it. And then he rolled it to an IRA, still no tax, and now he's going to take it out as a qualified charitable distribution and still never pay tax on it, which means more tax savings for him, meeting his required minimum that he probably doesn't need to live on because he has other income, and more money into the kingdom by way of his giving. That's a triple win the way I look at it.
Yeah, that'll work out real well for us. So, Rob, I thank you so much. I really appreciate your show, man.
Well, thank you, Lewis. I appreciate you saying that. And call anytime, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Hey, before we head to this break, you may still be working on your 2024 tax return, but there's something you need to know for next year, for, you know, tax year 2025. And that is, starting for tax year 2025, 401k investors can contribute up to $23,500 to their plans. That's an increase of $500 over last year's limit. But the catch-up provision remains the same. So if you're over age 50, 401k holder, you can contribute an additional $7,500. So that's $23,500, you know, plus $7,500. So that's $31,000. But somewhere hidden in the Secure Act 2.0 is a super catch-up provision for 2025. So instead of just $7,500, it allows 401k employees ages 60 to 63 to contribute an additional $11,250, which could bring your 401k contribution limit to $34,750. So just be aware of that. That could be a big deal if you're in that age range. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. With all the uncertainty in the world today, it's good to know that God's promises never change. On Christ in Prophecy, we'll examine the signs of the times and consider what's really happening in the world today through the lens of God's prophetic word. To hear more biblical hope for the future, join me for Christ in Prophecy, Sundays at 11 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio, and find out what's really going on in the world.
As we've seen, consumer choices can affect corporate policies. For example, if you support men following your wife or daughter into women's restrooms and changing areas, you may choose to shop Target. But if you prefer a store where women can feel safe, you may choose to shop elsewhere. Target policy still allows men who identify as women into those places, so the AFA Target boycott continues. With enough informed choices, we could help Target return to better policies. Visit AFA.net.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Glad you're with us today on Faith and Finance. This is where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We'll head back to the phones here in a moment, but first, here on a Monday, it's time for us to check in with Bob Dahl. He's CEO and CIO at Crossmark Global Investments, a leader in faith-based investing. Before we dive into the broader economy and market, Bob, somewhat of a tech sell-off going on today. NASDAQ down 2.5%. Bring us up to speed on that.
Yeah, China, often the source of problems, has a company that's come up with some AI solutions that are rattling Wall Street. Their solutions are technologically pretty advanced, so it seems. They may be able to do it at a cheaper price. So that's just causing a shakeup in Wall Street, and technology in particular, and AI products even more so, with NVIDIA at the head of the sell-off.
Yeah. You know, we know that NASDAQ is market cap weighted, which just means that, you know, when a company like NVIDIA has a big sell-off, it really affects the index, right?
Yes, exactly. NVIDIA, the highest capitalization stock many days. Apple has surpassed it just today again. But when these big stocks, Apple, Microsoft, NVIDIA, have a big up move or a big down move. You see it in the averages. Absolutely right.
Yeah. Bob, take us into the broader market. I know there's a number of things that are going on right now. You're watching all of them. Let's start with jobs. What are we seeing there?
The job picture remains okay, but you hear the question mark in my voice when we look at initial jobless claims or continuing claims. They're slowly moving higher, which says the job market is slowing, as we've seen for some time. Not onerous yet, but keep your eye on it very carefully, Rob.
All right, very good. And then what about the treasuries? The 10-year treasury is always kind of front and center as we talk about the economy and the markets. Where are we at right now, and what does that mean for the stock market?
Well, it's interesting. The sell-off in stocks has caused the 10-year treasury yield to move down about 10 basis points today. As the markets are saying, well, maybe it's not going to be off to the races as much as we thought. 4.5% 10-year treasury yield in recent years has been a trigger point for stocks to get a little squirrely. And that's happened again this time, although a lot of research, Rob, shows that it's the speed at which that yield changed, not so much the level.
Yeah, very good. And then what about just valuations, Bob? I know you have some concern about these high valuations, which require almost a near-perfect environment moving forward. And although there's some things to be excited about from deregulation and some of the things President Trump is working on, potential tax cuts, you know, we have to see earnings hold up in order to justify this. What do you make of at least these first few weeks of January?
Well, the earnings results are good, but deteriorating a bit. And banks, which report first, had phenomenal earnings, and they set the bar very high, Rob. Coming into the quarter, analysts were expecting fourth quarter earnings reports to show up 14%. That's already moved down to plus 10.5%. So still good news, but just not great. And as you pointed out at the beginning of your question, when P.E. ratios and valuation in general is as high as it is, it demands almost near-perfect results. So between the high valuations and earnings expectations that are really high, boy, the news better be really good to sustain these levels.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, sum this up for us, Bob. Are you buying equities right now? What is your current sentiment?
So I am, as a large-cap U.S. investor, fully invested almost always, but biting my fingernails, meaning I'm owning companies where I think if the market sells off, I will go down less than the market because we're trying to own companies that have decent earnings. For example, AT&T, they reported earnings early this morning. They were much better than expected, and in a down tape, that stock is up about 3%. That's the kind of thing one needs to own in this environment.
I like it. Bob, at Crossmark, obviously, you're looking for, you know, stellar risk-adjusted returns for your investors, but you're also looking to integrate faith values. Talk about, as we wrap up here today, how those two things intersect.
Well, the beauty is we have enough empirical evidence to show that investors that are smart about the way they incorporate values into the investment decision can perform and are performing as well as those who pay no attention to it. So we are integrating the two. You know, we cannot expect our clients to come to us or stay with us if we don't have good performance.
Yeah.
46% of Crossmark's products are ranked 4 or 5 stars by Morningstar, and that's a high number relative to the industry. We're not the only ones in faith-based space that are doing it, but it's important that we be able to successfully integrate both.
Well, you're leading the way, Bob. We're grateful for your time each week. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you. Have a great week.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more about values-based investing and sign up for his weekly commentary at crossmarkglobal.com. All right. Let's get to as many calls as we can here before we round out the program today. To Texas. Hi, Tony. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Yes. A year or two ago, I heard on the radio on this show is that someone was talking about waiting till try for Social Security at 65 and a half. And now another caller had made a comment about 70 and a half. I just don't know if that was pertaining to stocks, or I know I've gotten notices from Social Security. There's no more entitlements. This is how much you'll be getting. You need to apply. So I'm at 70 and a half. Was there a specific reason for those comments to be made, or was it just pertaining to stocks?
Yeah, it's a good question, Tony. We were probably talking about the qualified charitable distribution, which kicks in at 70 and a half. If you are over 70, 70 in 6 months, and you haven't signed up for Social Security benefits, you should do that now. Because after age 70, delaying benefits no longer increases them. So there's no point in waiting. Now, I like the idea that you waited until at least 70. And again, you don't want to wait beyond that. So let's go ahead and apply. But you're going to get a check probably 25% higher than you would have at full retirement age. And if, you know, you're in good health and the Lord tarries and he doesn't call you home, and, you know, it'll take about 10 to 12 years for you to get paid back for everything you gave up in not collecting between full retirement age and age 70. But once you do, again, you know, if you live beyond that, then you've got a check 25% higher for the rest of your life, and you haven't given up a penny because you've been paid back for what you didn't receive starting at full retirement age in the form of that monthly higher check. So I think bottom line is you're going to get a nice check, a good bit higher than you would have at full retirement age, but you don't need to wait one more day to apply because it's not continuing to increase, if that makes sense.
Okay, now, would they give me back, would I be getting from when I turned 70 6 months ago?
No, they'll just start the benefits right now as soon as you start, you know, collecting them, and give you what you're, you know, owed each month, which is going to be the highest possible check you could receive.
Oh, okay. Sounds great.
All right, Tony, thanks for listening and calling today. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. To Texas, Brian, go ahead, sir.
Hey, sir. I've got a question on my taxes quarterly because I'm self-employed, 1099. If they evaluate my, you know, I was supposed to pay them quarterly and I didn't pay a couple of quarters and I'm waiting until April, will I get penalized or charge interest on those that I didn't pay, that I just, how's that work?
Yeah. Yeah, there is penalties and interest, which is why you need to go ahead and get that in as soon as you can. That interest rate is set quarterly, and it's based on the federal short-term rate plus 3%. And then the penalty is usually around a half a percent on the unpaid taxes. So, yeah, you need to go ahead and get that paid just so you're not you know, accruing any interest and penalties on that.
So is it better to set up estimated payments quarterly or not set it up and just pay if you have extra money every quarter to pay in on your self-employed?
Yeah, I would try to calculate how much you owe based on what you are earning and what you're expecting to earn. And then each quarter, just go ahead and pay the amount of tax you're estimating is owed for that quarter's earnings. And as long as the IRS sees that you're sending that in quarterly and you're, you know, doing the best you can to anticipate what the tax will be, then you should be fine. And if you need a CPA to kind of help you with that, maybe on the front end, calculate, you know, what that effective tax rate is and therefore how much you need to be sending, I would do that. But I think the key is to just go ahead and get in that quarterly amount, you know, each quarter, so you don't have any penalties or interest.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Brian. We appreciate your call today, sir. Thanks for being on the program. Well, folks, covered a lot of ground today. You know, we started with money and marriage with Shanti Feldhahn. And, you know, Shanti shared, based on this study she had done with her husband, Jeff, around understanding values to be one of the keys to avoid conflict in marriage around money. Some of the other keys that she found in that work, number one is cushion. What they found was that it wasn't a matter of your income to avoid conflict in marriage around money. It was the fact that whatever your income was, you were living below it. That's a big idea there. And so if you need to dial back spending to build some cushion in, what Shawnee's data says is that's going to not only help you financially to stay out of debt and on track with your plan, but it's going to help your marriage as well. And so something to think about today. The final piece, communication. You won't be surprised. I think everything rises and falls on communication in marriage. But couples that were talking regularly through a weekly or a monthly money date are going to do a lot better in managing God's money together as one flesh. Hope that's helpful to you. Big thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't do this without them. Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, we're also grateful for Sandy Dickinson handling our phones today. Have a wonderful day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.